All right, if everybody wants to take a seat. Can you normally hit this in the beginning? All right, we are kicking off this meeting. Let's start off with a, calling this meeting to order, and then we'll start with a Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise if able.
And begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. We are going to shift into roll call, see who is here. It's on, but... Okay. Still need to do roll call.
Okay. Debbie Arnold.
I'm here.
Sheila Blake.
Here.
Charles Borbeau.
Here.
Lynn Compton.
Here.
Robert Enns. Bruce Gibson.
Here.
Aaron Gomez.
Here.
John Hammond.
Here.
Jeff Heller.
Here.
Adam Hill.
Here.
John Pashong. Keith Storton.
Here.
And Jeff Lee.
I am here.
So now that we are all accounted for, I wanted to welcome our new director, Brooke Stair, who's coming into us in a very enjoyable time, I think, in the history of this board and the evolution of what this will be. So if you want to say a few words and introduce yourself to everybody in the audience.
Yes. Is it more appropriate to stand there? Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Brooke Stair. I'm really glad to be here. Thank you for the opportunity. It's been a long journey and a long process to get here. I am a new resident of Atascadero. So I'll be hitting you up soon. But I just want to take the opportunity to say thank you again and let you know that this is your agency. And so moving forward, I'm going to be reaching out to all of you individually, and we will set up times to get to know each other a little bit better. And the whole purpose is to give you assurances that what we are going to do moving forward is in your direction and on your behalf, and everything is transparent and above board, and you guys are comfortable with it. And then I'll do... further meetings with my counterparts at the counties and at the county and the cities, and we'll go from there. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Brooks. And now that since we do have a shift in who is leading these events, that's me. We are going to have some recognition of who is exiting. And to my right, you'll see Mr. Jeff Lee. He actually took vice presidency over in 2015. And then he became board president in 2016, so he led this organization for quite some time. Also, during a time of what I would consider some shifting and some turmoil within the organization, but I think under your leadership, you did an extremely phenomenal job keeping us motivated and keeping us moving in the right direction. And at the same time, you became mayor of your city, so you were wearing quite a few hats, and I commend you for being able to do all of that and keep us all on the right path. So under that recognition, we do have some items that we wanted to give you. This will kick you off into the reusable future that we are heading into.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And I'm not going anywhere. I'll still be here. But thank you.
You are welcome. And he still sits on the executive board anyway, so he basically just shuffles around.
Yep.
No, you have to provide your own food, sorry. We're on budgetary constraints. And we also had an interim manager, Michael Giancola, who also came into lead this organization through some of those same difficult times. And I think with his leadership, he did a phenomenal job putting in place the necessities for the evolution of what this board is responsible for, putting policies, utilizing his past history with other jurisdictions and his understanding of waste and working with the team that already existed to really take this organization to the necessary evolution and next level that we're going to take those practices into the future. So I think his time serving as interim really basically put us on a path that I think we can be proud of. And I think, Mr. Giancola, if you want to say a few words on what you're able to do, and, you know, just I want to extend my gratitude for everything you did.
As you know, I'll never miss an opportunity to speak to you, so in the public, but I would like to just say that a couple of things. First of all, I want to thank the board for its complete and total support of what it is that I think we accomplished in the last 7 or 11 months, actually. It was supposed to be about a six-month stint. It turned out to be 11. It was very enjoyable, and in my 37 years in the public sector, I would say that I have not come across a more committed and supportive collection of elected officials. And I also know in my 37 years that you all, sitting where you do, and the exposure that you put yourself and your family, people don't really appreciate that. I certainly do, and certainly appreciate your support. I either met with many of you, I think every single one of you, or I took phone calls. And every single time, we had what I consider to be an extremely professional discourse. I think that we were able to accomplish really good things, especially for your constituents, for the public. This organization, I think, is extremely well-positioned. I think you have a good new manager, but I also think you have excellent staff between Patty, Gabby, and your support staff with your attorney. Would not have been able to be successful without them. And certainly and especially Mr. Lee, who is always there whenever I texted him, whenever I called him, which was a lot, especially at the beginning. So, again, I want to compliment each one of you for your support to what it is we did. And we did really good things. We righted a ship that had gone kind of aground. We put policies and procedures, I think, that are there and laid the framework and the groundwork for going forward, which will, I think, be very exciting. I think this organization is not only well-positioned, its mission is really kind of cool. I have not been involved in a strictly administrative kind of policy-driven, which this one is. You don't really operate facilities, but you have the team, and I think you have the finances to be able to do some really good things for the environment, for waste management as a whole, and for the public that you serve. So, again, thank you really deeply, because this could have been very difficult, and you guys made it really easy, and for that I really appreciate it and forever grateful. Unlike Mr. Lee, I will not be around. As you can tell by my attire, I'm sliding right back into retirement. So thank you very much. As always, though, I would be more than willing and able to take a phone call or a meeting or give you my 2 cents. If any of you ever have any questions, I'm always available. If you have my cell phone, feel free to call. Thank you very much.
And Mr. Giancola, don't forget, you also get a reusable takeout container. All right, now is the time if anybody does have public comments for items that are not on the agenda. I don't have any slips that are filled out for that as of yet, but if anybody does, they can approach. If not, we can... And just make sure and fill out a orange slip after you speak, and then we can get that in the record.
Thank you. My name is Barry Ranz, a resident of Slo County for the past 10 years, and recently attended Live Oak Music Festival and wanted to give a little report on the waste management practices there and the things that they were able to accomplish there. I was on the volunteer trash crew working under the site manager, Paul Dees, and he's been doing that for quite a number of years, and so he was able to give me the facts and figures on the past and how they've improved over the years, or at least compared to last year. And Live Oak really wants to get towards zero waste, and so this was a first attempt at reducing a lot of trash and diverting a lot of food waste from the trash stream. So they were able to divert five cubic yards of food waste. They were able to collect 69 yards of recyclables and then 112 yards of trash for a total volume of 186 cubic yards. And that compares to 340 cubic yards at their last year at their site in Santa Barbara. So that is a reduction of about 45% total waste. So I think that's a good job for Live Oak. And Jeannie and I were asked to do a report, an analysis of their waste management practices to see how they can improve next year. And I think there's a lot of room for improvement. I'll be preparing my report, passing it along to them, and then helping them next year to make it even better. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. All right, with no further speakers that I see, let's move on to the Executive Director's Report. Mr. Stair.
And I'm turning it over to Patty.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit. I accidentally went forward. The reason I'm talking about this is because Brooke said it's all my fault. So moving forward, and he just told me this before the meeting, as you can see, we have a variety of reports in your booklets. If you have any questions on them, please be sure to talk to me about them. Next time we bring them forward in September, at the September meeting, if the August one gets canceled, they're going to be different. They're going to look a lot different. He has some changes he wants to make. He wants to make it more understandable, more fluid, more like where he came from. And I think that they are a positive change. I think you guys will all like them. Again, does anybody have any questions on these reports? Great.
See none.
Excellent. And then moving forward under operational, we just gave you guys an overview on basically what the IWMA has done the past year. Page 27 gives you the cliff notes. Science Discovery has done a phenomenal job. 825 recycling education classroom presentations. These guys are amazing. They did 119 landfill presentations or field trips, and then 10 adult presentations. That's the education portion. On their commercial business, they set up over 500 restaurants and businesses, and that includes grocery stores, mom and pops, as well as big ones, on food waste programs. These guys are great. He has a team of three out there who go right in the business, no fees for the business, and they help them get it, whatever it is, into the right container. Not only food waste, but recycling as well, because as you know, it's confusing. As you can see, at our six HHW facilities, we had about 8,000 people drive up to drop off stuff. You can see for yourself all the poisons, paints, acids, aerosols. Oh, my God, the list is endless. We take a lot of universal waste and hazardous waste and keep it from being illegal dumped, or just give people options on where they can take it safely. Okay? Moving forward, we're going into the consent calendar, and forgive me, Aaron, how do you want me to proceed with this? Do you want me to go through it item by item? The minutes?
As far as the consent?
For the consent.
Well, I would say we should, before we want to pull anything for a discussion about the consent. Yeah, we do have some public comment on it as well, and then as far as, let's take the public comment first.
Okay.
Jill Zemeck wants to comment on item number 12. And then if any other board members want to pull after that.
And I'll move it forward to item number 12.
Oh. Well, she is shifting that. So that's 20?
Okay. So we'll go back.
So we don't have any public comment as of that I know of. So does anybody want to pull any items to discuss on the consent?
I'll move approval.
I'll second.
We've got a first and a second.
Discussion?
Want to do discussion on these items?
Roll call.
Roll call, please. Consent goes all the way through 19. Go ahead, Mr. Bubba.
So the items 10, 11, and 12, where you were being asked to endorse the letters.
I thought I had it on. We're being asked to endorse letters in support of three particular pieces of legislation. I was looking those up to make sure I understood them. And to be honest, I didn't totally follow item number 11, SB 424, on tobacco products. So, I mean, I don't want to belabor it, but I just I don't like to just sign on without making sure I understand something. So I don't know how well-read you are into these.
Do you want to pull that for discussion,
yes,
and then we can move the rest of the items?
Yes.
Okay. So let's pull item 11 for discussion, and we can move the rest of the calendar, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's great. If there aren't any other items that members want to discuss, I'll make the motion to approve all of consent except for number 11.
Continue my second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
All right, Adam Hill?
Yes.
Jeff Lee?
Yes.
Debbie Arnold?
Yes.
Sheila Blake?
Yes.
Charles Barbeau?
Yes.
Lynn Compton?
Yes.
Bruce Gibson? John Hammond?
Aye on all except for 12, as of now.
Jeff Heller?
Yes.
Keith Storton?
Yes.
And Aaron Gomez?
Yes. And with that, it passes. So let's discuss item number 11.
I'm sorry, I looked up this item. I wanted to understand, is this just pertain to essentially vaping devices?
Actually, it's cigarettes as well.
Okay.
What the legislation is proposing, and again, it could change before it's finalized, is that every pack of cigarettes that's sold will have one filter in it. That one filter is designed to be put on each one of the cigarettes, with the thought being that instead of every single filter getting thrown on the ground and stamped out, only one per pack would be. In addition, inside the cigarette, in part of the packaging, would be a mail back receptacle, so to speak, so that that person, at the end of smoking their entire pack, could put that one filter back into that mail back envelope and send it back for recycling.
And somebody thinks that's realistic.
Excuse me?
Somebody thinks that's realistic. I mean, I participate in a lot of litter pickup. I have my own little piece of road. And the most common thing I find is cigarette butts.
You're absolutely correct.
In other words, people engaging in smoking are not exactly habitually doing the right thing with those things.
For some reason, our society, it's socially acceptable to squish a cigarette on the ground. And we do need to flick it, right? We do need to change that. So it may be just that awareness of what? You know, only one filter, and it starts the conversation. And again, we're starting to pump out more information about it. As well as there's other components to this, the cigarette manufacturers have to put take-back containers at any location that sells them for vaping products as well as cigarette products. So there's more components to that, but that's sort of the nut and bolts of it.
As I read it, I thought to myself, this can't possibly really be applying to regular cigarettes, but you're saying it does, and you explain the process. I remember, I'm old enough to remember when filter cigarettes came around in
Me
the
too.
60s, and and it was, of course, meant for the safety, well, relative safety, I guess, of the smoker. I can just imagine how few people are going to, take that device and stick it on every cigarette they smoke. I don't know, this just seems like a very unrealistic approach to a, public health problem on the one hand and a littering problem on the other. I don't have an issue with the about being on the vaping side. I just do have a somewhat of a concern concern when we were asked to endorse these letters. I like to, you know, dig into them and read the underlying legislation a little bit. And so I did that on each. But this one seems a bit odd to me in terms of the details you described. So,
and I think you'll see a lot more of it. I mean, if it doesn't pass now, it'll come back again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And there are other tobacco legislations moving through, too. It's a big problem, and the vaping issues connected with it are a big problem. I have problems on my end as an entity trying to handle this waste. What do I do with it? Because a lot of the vaping components have batteries in them, but my battery recycler doesn't want it. They also have, because he says it's hazardous waste, but when I go to my hazardous waste guys and say, hey, can you please take this off my hands, they don't want it because some of the chemicals in it, the nicotinoids, if it gets on your skin, it penetrates right through your skin and gets into your bloodstream right away. And so he says it's like a staff problem. I don't want my staff handling this stuff. They're okay with handling other hazardous waste, but he's super sensitive about nicotinoids. And I understand that. I don't want anybody getting, you know, poisoned. And then not only that, it's the rechargeable component on these, some of the vapes, not all of them. You can take and recharge them like you would recharge your cell phone. Forgive me, I'm not an expert on these. I was surprised by this. But they don't want it in the electronic waste either because of the nicotinoids again. So I went to Cal Recycle and said, hey, what do I do with this? They said, go to the DTSC. I went to the Department of Toxic, and they said, you need to call the FDA. I called the FDA and left a message because nobody would answer. They said they would call me back in 48 hours. They didn't. A couple of weeks later, I was on my roof. I answered the cell phone, right? It's them. Them. I asked them, can I get your phone number and an email so that if I have more questions, because obviously I'm on my roof hanging upside down painting my eaves, right? Can I get some information so I can call you back? And they said no. I said, we need to start this conversation. All these products are coming into our environment because they're approving them, but we don't have this end of life in mind. So these are critical issues, and you'll see a lot more on this vaping.
Sorry.
And cigarettes.
Okay, no, thank you. Thank you. Very good explanation. Mr. Chairman, I'm curious just what is our process for the development of these kind of letters and you know, the determination to put them on the agenda in the consent calendar? Is the executive committee looking at these and then asking staff to write the letter? What's the process by which these end up here?
Yes. Generally speaking, and you saw some of these come before the board earlier in the year, and it was told to be brought back as it kind of evolved through the state level. So that's where you've seen it.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have any other comments on this?
Can you just remind me who's on the executive committee again?
Myself, Mr. Lee, and Mr. Enns. So with those, do you have any comments?
No, I was just going to, no other discussion, I was going to move approval of authorizing the chair to sign this letter and move it forward with the understanding that that was a great discussion we just had there. And I think the way the executive committee has kind of fashioned some of these letters and some of these discussions is as we move forward through the mission of the organization with reduce, reuse, recycle, and the components of our strategic plan that, again, are coming forward, these letters are going to be helpful in crafting as an organization ultimately where these letters may go, and as Mr. Sayers continues into his tenure, this process may update or get modified as well.
Second.
May I add something?
Sure.
And this is the point of the creating this discussion, so that if you have comments or you have concerns, that we could add that to the response. So this is not that you have to, it's cut and paste, and you have to accept what's written here. If you have questions and concerns, this is the time where you could make those, and then we can incorporate those into the document. The only issue is timing, because you know how quickly things move in Sacramento, so we would need to, we'll get them to you as soon as they come up, and then get the comments back as soon as you can.
Yeah, and that's, I want to follow up. The timing on a lot of these is, this is why it ends up coming before us, is because they start moving through state level, and you know, we have to either make the comments or not, especially when we start canceling meetings.
Right, I noticed one of them already passed, so it's probably in conference or something. But okay.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. I'm going to get a roll call.
Jeff Lee.
Yes.
Bruce Gibson.
Yes.
Debbie Arnold.
I don't feel like I have enough information on this, on the administrative penalties, so I'm just going to pass on this one for right now. I'll vote a no, just for that reason.
No, thank you.
Sheila Blake?
I'm going to vote no for this for another reason, and that is that nothing is going to change until we do something about the tobacco companies and their vast influence on the legislature. So I'm voting no.
Charles Borbeau.
Well, I'm torn, but I'll vote no for now.
Lynn Compton.
I'll vote no for now.
John Hammond.
No.
Jeff Heller.
Yes.
Adam Hill.
I want to vote yes, no, and abstain. Yes.
Keith Storton.
Yes.
And Aaron Gomez.
Yes.
Okay. One, two, three, four, five, six. We have six yes votes.
Is that a majority? Is that what we're saying?
I'm counting the no's. I'm sorry. Okay, and five no's. So it does pass.
All right, that is not a passing vote. Moving on. I'm getting mixed review on this. Somebody said no, somebody said yes. It does pass.
Well, 13 board members, I would have 7 as a majority vote.
But we don't have a
members present.
Two are absent.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
So it is 5 no. And 6 yes.
Sorry. All right. That motion does pass. Thank you for the clarity. All right. We are now moving on to the real item. We have several public comments, speaker slips on this item. For the sake of time, if there are items on this when we get through the process that you are repeating other people's comments, simply by raising your hands, supporting them, simply saying I support the speakers that came before me, it would be helpful. Otherwise, we will be here for quite some time. But you obviously have the right to comment on any of this. So we are going into a study session, basically on polystyrene and single-use disposables, and we have a plethora of information to get through. So, staff, you want to lead that conversation before we get to public comment? Don't we generally run the reports before?
Here we go. Okay, the IWMA Executive Committee at their last meeting asked staff to conduct a session for the full board. This study session will focus on polystyrene and single-use plastics.
And just for ease, what packet page do we want people to start on so we can make sure and follow
along?
Sorry
about that. This presentation is not in your packet. It is a section in your packet, but my presentation is not in there. There are documents that I will be talking about in the packet, specifically starting on page 177.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
What's our goal here? To provide staff with direction on whether or not to proceed with an ordinance and to give staff direction on what should be added to the ordinance or not. First, let's look at the problem. We are more than ever living in a disposable society. Honestly, disposables eat up a lot of landfill space. Why is this an issue? Because it's extremely expensive to site new landfills. And nobody, actually millions, in the millions to be exact, and nobody wants to pay higher disposal fees. There isn't a person inside this room or outside who likes to see rates go up. Nor do they want one of these facilities in their backyard. But it could be worse, and often is, when it shows up as litter. Litter that ends up on our roads, streets, oceans, waterways, beaches, etc. And if you don't think this happens in our county, think again. Ask anyone who cleans up the streets, roads, beaches, waterways. Ask your city stormwater staff. They'll tell you. This picture was taken just down the road in Long Beach after a rain event. quickly, thanks to EcoSlow, she supplied me recently with her latest pickups. One day, 10 top debris items, cigarette butts, food wrappers, plastic pieces, glass bottle caps, metal and plastic, foam beverage bottles, stirrers, straws, glass beverage containers. Look at the numbers. That's one day. Stormwater. Runoff is a huge issue for us. We know generally 15% of our stormwater drain is polystyrene products. The rest is a wide variety of assorted disposables. We only have ourselves to blame because, to be honest with you, the impact we have on this planet begins at the point of purchase. When you walk in, first and foremost, you should be purchasing with end of product in mind, but we don't. Rarely do we. Maybe on occasion, but for the most part, we don't. To top it off, we have a bad case of wish recycling in this county. We feel so good when we get it in the blue container that we ignore reality. Unfortunately, blue bin recycling is limited. This is our sticker that we've had ever since I started working at the IWMA, which is almost 11 years ago. It hasn't changed, but we've ignored it. Take a look at the top. We've got metal, cans, and foil. Then it moves over to the right, paper. Paper bags, newspapers, envelopes, etc. Down below, rigid plastics, and then glass beverage containers and jars. First and foremost, we need to think about the system that we're putting our items through. The truth is that we're literally trashing our recycling. Every day, new products hit the market that are not recyclable, so the problem keeps getting worse and worse. How do we fix it? First, let's discuss resin codes. Now, we're all familiar with these codes, 1 through 7. The numbers, the chasing arrows. But the problem is that most of us think that these mean items are recyclable. But the truth is it only indicates what material the item's made out of. Again, let me repeat that. They only indicate what material the item is made out of. Now that we know that there are 7 material types in these plastics, let's look at the 2 and only 2 that can be used or recycled in our system. The first one is PET. Now, this is a product your recycler wants. Here again is a product your recycler wants. This is a product, plastic number 3, that they don't want. And this they don't want, number 4. If you want to recycle the 3 and 4, the film plastics, take them back to your local grocery store. That includes CVS and Rite Aids. They'll take them off your hands. Otherwise, please do not put them in the blue bin. And here's why. Take a look closely at this. They get caught up in the screens. This is horrible. These guys have to shut down the system and literally cut these out, or worse yet, burn it out. Imagine the air emissions on that. Here's another plastic we don't want, plastic number 5. Again, think of the system. These items tend to get caught up in the machinery. They surf on top of other materials, and they end up getting baled by accident. And that's why China and Asian countries are rejecting loads left and right. Let's take and pause for a minute on this plastic number 6. You can see pictured here the white, that's the expanded polystyrene, EPS. And if you look closely, it's hard to see in this room, the clear is polystyrene as well. PS, neither of these we want to go in the recycling container. Let me repeat that again, neither in the recycling. And here's why. When you put these into your recycling container, they get put into the recycling truck and are smashed, and then they break into small pieces. Then when they get to the recycling center, the truck unloads them, and they're buried under thousands of pounds of material, breaking them down further. So then the loader comes in, scoops it all up, and puts it up on the line, and it rains down through the equipment. It's like snow. You know, if it's not larger than your fist, Think about it. We can't put it through our system. So that means no paper, shredded paper. Yes, it's paper, but we can't get it through the system. Please, no Christmas lights, no old hoses from your garden. Think about it wrapping up. John Ryan asked me to ask this in particular. Please, no needles on the line. We get a staggering number of hypodermic needles coming down our lines. People think they put them in a rigid container, but again, they get crushed in the truck, and then we have needles everywhere. And finally, plastic number 7 covers a wide variety of sins, all the plastics that don't fit under anything else. And again, your recycling center does not want this plastic, and neither do your grocery stores. So let's review. Blue bins, resin code number 1, number 2, again, this is on plastics, and grocery stores, the film plastics, 3 and 4. Both those can go to either or. But if it's not that and it's plastic, it's garbage. So put that in your garbage container. Now, it's really important to remember that when it comes to recycling, there are 3 conditions that make something recyclable. And this makes everybody mad. Number 1, it has to make it through the system. I keep saying this, right? Number 2, somebody has to be willing to buy that product off of you. In short, give you enough money to make it worthwhile for the truck to drive out, the drivers to bring it back, to put it on the line, to have staff to collect or sort it on the line, and the fuel and energy to run your systems. And then somebody has to buy it from you at a profit, right, to be able to sell it to a manufacturer. And all along the way, everybody needs to make money. If they don't, then it's not recyclable. So it's worth repeating here. Think about the process. Your local recycler bales items. And if it can't be baled or it contaminates bales, we don't want it in the blue bin. So now that we know the problem with our collection system and the challenges that we have, let's quickly take a look at our 5 local ordinances. Again, there are 5, and they're all in your agenda packet beginning on page 33. They started with Slows in 2005 and the latest Grover Beach 2018. All of them are similar. They prohibit expanded polystyrene. And second, you can't use it at any city events or in city facilities. There are roughly 5 exemptions: meat and seafood trays, wholly encapsulated things like coolers or surfboards. You can use it in construction still. And all that packaging that you get from Amazon and everybody else is exempt. And in the event of the emergency, there are exemptions. What's required in the 5 ordinance? Replacements must be biodegradable, compostable, and or recyclable. Now, just a few slides back, we were talking about the challenges in our system. Here again, we face another system challenge. This is our new anaerobic digester. It takes green waste and food waste, not compostables. Let me say that again, not compostables. A word of caution moving forward: if the board decides to ban polystyrene or other compostables or not, then we need to carefully craft the ordinance to not encourage switching to compostable containers and packaging, as they will likely end up as contamination in not only the blue bins, but the green bins as well. Moving forward, violations across the 5 ordinances are fairly similar. They fall into 2 categories. If you're a food provider and you use EPS, you're subject to fines. However, in lieu of fines, if you can prove that you're purchasing or have purchased moving forward non-EPS products, then you can avoid the fines. Secondly, of the 5 ordinances, it depends on how many people attend your event on how high the fine is. Options moving forward: if we take away EPS or any other disposables, what are people supposed to use? Maybe it's bring your own. Maybe it's aluminum. Aluminum has a high value at your recycling center. It's easy to sort off the line because it's pulled off by magnets, and it's reusable over and over. Aluminum is truly amazing in this way. Plastic, the same can't be said for plastic. Typically, it's downcycled into a lesser product, if at all. In general, it is a great product for this type of a system. It does have its drawbacks, though. If littered, it's not biodegradable. Glass, don't laugh. It's reusable, recyclable, and non-toxic. However, it has its challenges. It's heavy, breakable, and again, if littered, it's not biodegradable. Paper has its benefits, too. As you can see and guess, it's lighter than glass, not breakable. Raw paper is non-toxic. And if littered, it's biodegradable. Good. If soiled, though, it's not recyclable, and it's not compostable in our system. And some paper products are coated with PFAS. Now, I'm not going to talk about PFAS today. That's for another study session all its own. So, I need you now to turn to page 177 of your board packet if you're not already there. And while you're doing that, I want to answer any questions you may have so far.
Yeah, and before we open up to questions, I do want to kind of give a broader context of why we're in a study session as opposed to looking at a polystyrene ban, considering that that's what we were tasked with originally. As we got into this from the executive board side, we started looking at the various policies, and since the five cities have put policies in place, this whole movement around policies around plastics and polystyrene have evolved extremely quickly, not only within, you know, California and the U.S., but also throughout all various countries. You've seen Canada put in bans. You've seen India put in bans. So we wanted to make sure that we had a full understanding of what the breadth of the issue is, both locally and on the how policies are evolving before we start to, you know, pick and choose what we're going to put into this ban. So with that, does anybody have any questions? Ms. Blake?
I have a question for you. When I was a kid, we used to pick up cans and newspapers and take them to the neighborhood recycling place and get money for it. I remember having my car weighed to see how much newspaper I had in the back seat so that I could sell it. Whatever happened to the neighborhood recycling situation? It seems to have gone way far away.
You're right. The neighborhood recycling situation in most cases, especially when it comes to getting money for newspaper, are gone, and they're gone because they weren't profitable. Again, I'm getting back to this is the ugly truth. Unless people can make money off a commodity, then they won't do it. And the only way you can make money, yes, we collect money at our newspaper at our recycling centers now, as well as bottles and cans, but we collect them in such mass quantities and bale them into large bales, and that's how you make it.
But didn't the state contribute some money to returning of deposits for bottles?
The state doesn't contribute money to returning deposits for bottles. When you purchase the money, you basically pay into the system. So it's every person who purchases bottled beverages, except for wine, and but it's all CRV.
But it doesn't come back to you?
It does if you take your bottles and cans to a recycling center.
Which doesn't exist.
They do, although this county does have 11 dead zones. There are bottle recycling centers in this county. But you're absolutely correct. There are zones in this county that don't have it.
So would it be to our benefit to publicize the addresses of these recycling places?
Absolutely. And they are listed on our website, and I could talk to you about them right now if you want to.
Well, if you could give us the general locations, even that would help right now.
Right now? Okay, so a really good one in San Luis Obispo is right behind Target. In Los Osos, it's right behind the grocery discount center. Up in Cambry, it's up by Cookie Crop Market up there. Over on Paso Robles, up in Creston Food for Less parking lot, there's one there. There's another one behind Albertsons on Niblick and Paso Robles. Moving further south, down in Napomo, there's one behind Vaughn's there. And there's, I'm sure, oh, there's one on Broad, forgive me, in San Luis Obispo, and then there's another one in Oceano on, oh, God, I can't remember, Street.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, but I will take and get back to you with a complete list of all of them.
Yeah, I wanted to share something, Sheila. We had a situation a year or so ago where Assemblyman Cunningham came in to discuss. We had a grocery store, small one, in Atascadero. Mm-hmm. And what I learned at that time, and some of you spend more time researching this all, but you're right about the money that's collected. When you buy a six-pack of beer or something, there's that, what is it called?
CRV.
CRV. Mm-hmm. CRV fee that goes along. It's on your receipt at the grocery store, right? So you buy your beer for what it costs, then you pay something. That money goes to the state, and the state programs have not really been maintained the way I understand it. The state takes the money and doesn't always put it back into reimbursing some of these smaller, what you're talking about, I think, Sheila, is we all used to, or have the kids collect cans, or the 4-H collects cans. They could take it easily back to almost any, or there were several, they were scattered all around, and Atascadero doesn't have any anymore. I don't think they have any.
Atascadero doesn't, there isn't
any. Yeah, so legally, and this might have changed in the past year, but the grocery stores or whoever's selling you the product, technically, I don't think most people are aware, but have to take that back. If you decide to say, I'm giving you my cans and I want my CRV money back, the poor merchant could be on the hook for that in the grocery store. So it's been a little bit of a problem, and really the state, I think, needs to be made more accountable. We, the public, have been spending this money and saying, yep, in order to buy a disposable or something, a product, and be able to return the product for recycling, we're going to give you this extra bit of money. But it has not, the program is falling apart, I'm going to say. And the state has not been holding up their end. And what Patty said, it's not profitable. No, because there's no place to take the, if you're the little recycle stand at the grocery store, you can't get, it's not profitable for you to operate anymore. So I think in some ways, that might even be something we write a letter about to the state. That CRV money was intended for recycling, and it should be used for recycling to give us more recycling opportunities. That's kind of what I found out a year ago, and I don't think anything's changed since we had that dilemma in Atascadero.
So, again, for context, are any of the items that we're talking about, are they even covered under the CRV program?
I'm sorry, ask me that question one more time.
Are any of these products, as far as, there's no CRV for EPS, there's no CRV for polystyrene stuff,
no,
there's no CRV for a lot of these plastic items that
that's
I'm aware
correct.
Of. So, I mean, as good as that conversation is, it's kind of outside of the scope of what we're really trying to tackle here. Mr. Heller had it.
Thank you. I have a question. What is the mechanism for assessing the fines for various products that have been banned? What agency does that, and is that effective?
It depends on what product you're talking about. Can you give me an example of a product, and I can tell you the agency who's responsible for taking care of the enforcement on it?
Well, let's just say the polystyrene.
Polystyrene has, well, it depends on local ordinances here. Usually it has to do with the environmental, well, that would be county environmental health, or, help me out, Jeff, in your case, it is...
And under each individual ordinance, they have different criteria. So typically, I think if memory serves, in Grover Beach, we have and Ms. Rand can probably educate me here as well, is we have a tiered program where if you if you have polystyrene, you have to use up that product, and then you can't purchase any additional. You can get a extension from the, requested by and approved by the city manager for a certain length of time, and then there's a tiered program for violations thereafter, I believe.
So in general, do most merchants comply with these changes?
We've actually seen, and other jurisdictions can chime in, but we've actually seen a pretty good response. So, and those that haven't responded, we've been working with, or members of the public have been working with, to try and get them to remove that product as well. So, and one of the, not necessarily germane to your question, but there is typically a rollout period before the ordinance is effective, so that they can use their stock that's on hand in order to get to that point.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it really would be good to focus this on the question of expanded polystyrene. And to Mr. Heller's question, as I understood it, is, you know, how is it that these administrative fines can be prosecuted? In fact, as a JPA, this entity, the IWMA, has the legal power to levy administrative fines. And we have, in fact, I believe, five ordinances now requiring specific kinds of recycling or the banning of certain materials like the single-use plastic bags. To my knowledge, and I'm very certain I'm correct, we have never levied an administrative fine in the nearly 8 years that I can remember that we've been doing this. As these ordinances are crafted, we have also put in there that the individual jurisdictions, county or the seven cities, can prosecute violations of this ordinance passed by the IWMA as well. So the mechanisms by which we enforce this are clear, and I think in all of these, or particularly in the more controversial ones, we've gotten sidetracked actually on the question of administrative fines. They really don't come into play when this agency acts in a reasonable fashion, as we have in the previous ordinances. We don't see this. So to me, it seems like the business of today is to decide whether we want to extend the kind of prohibition that we've extended to single-use plastic bags to another set of materials that are a problem in our waste stream. And they're a problem in our waste stream not only for the waste handlers, but also for the environment. And I think the evidence that this is clearly a problem is borne by the fact that five jurisdictions have already passed ordinance on this matter, and I think that it's quite obvious that we should have some kind of coordinated effort on this that's consistent countywide, so that all business entities in here know how to proceed. As I looked in the packet toward the end, we have some structure to try to figure out what the nature of this ordinance might be. And so I would hope that we could get to public comment, which I expect to be overwhelmingly in support of this, as it was when I asked that this be agendized 18 months ago, almost 18 months ago now, 15 months ago. And I think that we could take that public comment and move directly toward structuring direction staff to get this done.
Mr. Storton, do you have some questions?
Just real quick for some clarification. I know in the city of Rio Grande, the enforcement is the responsibility of the police department. So it's tapped with looking into that. And I actually looked into our stats as to any enforcement that was done in this area since our ordinance has passed in 2016. Initially, within the first 6 months, we had that warning period where five local food establishments were in violation and were provided with warnings. And since that time, there's been no enforcement. I'm not sure if there's any in violations, but once again, it's the burden of the police department to follow up with that enforcement, which becomes a question of, we can make up all the rules we want, but it comes down to having the teeth in it to provide that accountability, to make sure whatever we pass here as a group, we have to provide the resources and ability for those agencies charged with that enforcement to be able to go out there to make sure that people comply.
If I could just thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate Mr. Storton, longtime police officer here in the city's weighing in. Typically, that's not actually how these kinds of these are more like social change, peer pressure thing. They don't actually, you know, when we see no, as this city I think has been a leader historically, even on no smoking and getting rid of litter, banning smoking outdoors, it's posting signs, making it clear that you have the ability to enforce if necessary. But it's really not the enforcement that ends ends up being, it's really the community's desire to do these things and the way that it ends up kind of self-enforcing through changes in behavior and other people just kind of saying. So I think you're right that it could fall on an agency, but it's not historically been how these sort of behavior changes that are for the best of the environment and the best of people's health have worked. So I think that's important to keep in mind. That's just not how we've been able. That's not even how this agency has made things work. In the last one being the plastic bag ban, and I think as Mr. Gibson pointed out, we don't want to get distracted by the boogeyman stuff that doesn't actually apply. We have to really look at whether this is going to have the kind of impact and why it should have the kind of impact that we want. Because if we look at the things that we have been successfully able to get out of our waste stream, we've succeeded, but we haven't succeeded because we've had to get people arrested.
And if I might, Mr. Chairman, I just point out that this is not a controversial item. This has been passed all over this county. And, in fact, this agency is in a reactive mode at this point. It is only through the efforts of the cities that have put together a variety of varying ordinance that this has actually come to us. And so I see our role here not to really debate the wisdom of banning expanded polystyrene. The information in our packet makes it clear that this material is on its way out for obvious reasons. I think we just need to, and ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate your support, but what we need to do is simply craft some reasonable regulations to see this change affected in a sensible fashion. And I think we can do that very simply. This is not rocket science at this point.
Any further questions, Mr.
Well, Bebeau? When the appropriate time comes, which I believe is at the end of our worksheets, to talk about violations and enforcement, I do want to talk about that as a city that doesn't currently have an ordinance. And I thank Mr. Gibson for his earlier comments because he actually addressed very clearly some of the things that would have. But I would share we should get the public comment and begin to work on the subject items in the worksheet. And I'll save those questions for later.
Okay. Thanks. Sounds good. Anybody have any other questions before we move on?
Actually, just through the chair, if I may, just as we do continue to talk about this and proceed through this, I know there's going to be a number of differing opinions possible within the room. So I say this at Grover Beach as well, and I always get groans every once in a while, but jazz hands are much more appropriate than bursts of applause or groans or so forth. It helps us to keep the proceedings moving. So I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you. I will make a comment that Ms. Ms. Compton had to step out because she's part of the Cuyama Water District. I want to make sure and announce that and put that on the record so people didn't think that she just escaped on us. We all have very important things when we sit on various boards, so it's the unfortunate reality is oftentimes these meetings cross over. So, with that said, we can limit these down to 1 minute, 2 minute, and 3 minute. If you want to volunteer your time, if you can fit it into 1 minute, that would be great. If you can fit it into 2 minute, that would be great. If you can fit it in under 3 minutes, you have to, and that's just kind of the reality of the 3 minute part. But like I said, we have a plethora of people speaking on this item, and I imagine a lot of that will be similar perspectives. So I will call you up three at a time.
If you do the 1 minute,
you
get people volunteer.
Okay. Whoever.
You might also emphasize, Mr. Chairman, the incredible impact of a 1 minute comment.
I think you just did.
A haiku. A haiku is the best.
If anybody would like to volunteer as a 1 minute speaker, you are welcome to come down and speak. Make sure and say your name because now all of these will be mixed up. So.
Is it on?
Repeat your name, please.
Is it on now? Okay. My name is Frida Casaverde. I'm volunteering first because I had to leave my job to come here because I think it's a very important decision today. Like a lot of people, I'm donating my time to call attention to this important matter. I'm going to be very honest with you guys. We have to stop kicking the can down the road. What did we elect you for? To make decisions. We can't have the cities passing the bucket to the Board of Supervisors, the Board of Supervisors passing it to the police passing it to the Board of Supervisors passing it to the police, to the state. We're tired of it. Make a decision today. Take this seriously. I live in Garden Farms, and I'm really happy to see my supervisor, Debbie Arnold, here today. So I'm putting my trust on you, supervisor, that you will make the right decision to ban polystyrene. I'll be following that decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Szynski.
Good afternoon. My name is Mary Szynski. I'm the executive director for EcoSlow, the Environmental Center of San Luis Obispo. And in the letter that we provided, we did have eight other environmentally minded organizations sign on to the letter that we provided you. So I think there's strong support from the environmentally minded organizations in SLO County. And from someone who's been doing beach cleanups for the past 4 years in our county, I can't tell you the frustrations that we have from volunteers who are picking up polystyrene. You pick it up, it breaks up. It breaks up more. And our volunteers are really dedicated to trying to pick up every little piece that they find on the beach, in the creek, in the park. And I think it's it would just be great if you guys could pass a polystyrene ordinance. We love to share this kind of information with our volunteers so they know our county is taking leadership in trying to prevent single-use harmful items in our county. So thank you very much for considering it, and I hope that you pass an ordinance today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Dylan Staffarini. I'm the chair of the Climate Reality Project Cal Poly chapter. I just want to second everything that Rita Casaverde said. We're very enthusiastic and passionate about this topic, and we hope that you all vote today and get a polystyrene ordinance in effect. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, my name is Ben. Thank you so much for holding the space. I think the polystyrene will be prohibited soon, but it's nice to say something. Literally several times a week, I work in a cafe in Santa Margarita, and I pass out styrofoam cups, and I joke about how when I die, God's going to be like, you're a pretty good guy, but you kind of slid with those styrofoam cups. So thank you so much. I don't have the power to get them out of my cafe, but you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Jill Zamek. I live in Arroyo Grande, and I'm here to urge you to support a strong polystyrene ordinance in SLO County and, in fact, throughout the world. It's past time to put the needs of our environment and the species of our planet ahead of our materials of convenience. This includes the removal of foam meat trays and egg cartons, rigid polystyrene and plastic cutlery, straws, stirrers, and lids, marine buoys and flotation devices, PFAS, all balloon types, and plastic bags. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Chelsea Potter. I am the chair of the Rise Above Plastics Initiative for Slow Surf Rider Foundation, and I am a local healthcare professional. I second everything that she just said and what we should be banning, but I wanted to speak a little bit to the public health perspective of this. You know, it's estimated 500 pounds of plastic enter the oceans every second, and these plastics are not biodegradable for many decades until they finally degrade into microplastics. To reference a somewhat local study in Monterey Bay, microplastics the size of 5 millimeters or less were found in all depths measured. The results of this study confirm that plastic and microplastic pollution is widespread and likely just as much of a problem right here on our coastline. From the public health perspective, we know these microplastics are pervasive in ocean food webs, and this means fish mistake microplastics for food, and these harmful chemicals associated with these plastics are spread and concentrated throughout the food chain, which humans are a part of. Microplastics are also being measured in freshwater sources and even air we breathe. Polystyrene specifically, it's very important to realize that it's a very buoyant substance that finds its way into our waterways very easily. In both human and animal studies, exposure to different types of plastics have been associated with certain cancers, endocrine, hormonal disruptions, nervous system disorders, and other serious health problems. More research continues to be conducted to truly know the full impact of these plastics in human health. And as you review the polystyrene ordinance, we urge you to allow Sloan County to be on the forefront of reducing plastic pollution. Since there are many suitable, healthier, and more environmentally friendly alternatives to this harmful material, it is time to change our ways. When we know better, let's do better. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Dara Stepanek. I'm a business owner of Bliss Cafe just right downtown and a certified health coach. I'm deeply concerned about the effects on our public health that our plastic use creates. I'd like to acknowledge as a business owner that banning plastic cutlery and lids and containers and whatnot does create some small hurdles. However, we have long surpassed the luxury of continuing business as usual. We cannot afford to put off crossing these hurdles. We must change our entire infrastructure. That's what it will take. We did not always live in a plastic-dominated society, and I know that we can effectively create a better future without them. Thank you to the people who came before. I really wanted to highlight that study. I'm glad she did. Microplastics in our water that get in with our drinking water, they go in with our agriculture. It sits in the soil, toxifies the soil, makes our crop supply go down, and gets into the animals, which, of course, we belong to this ecosystem. So please, I urge you, for the sake of our continued existence as a species, strong ban on polystyrene. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Hi, my name is Sylvie Asselin. You can hear me? This is better? My name is Sylvie Asselin, and I'm a citizen of Los Osos, and I'm here to support the ban on polystyrene, and I have to say that I'm a sinner. Patty, I'm a sinner. I did everything wrong in my blue bin, so I'm going to go back home and change my behavior immediately, but I will do it, but most people won't, so we need to make that decision on behalf of them. We have to keep all our garbage clear of polystyrenes, all of these plastics, especially the single use that I still see around at the farmer's market and at the supermarket. When I buy my vegetables, everybody puts their vegetables and fruits in this single plastics. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
My name is Richard Romero, and I live in Napomo. And I agree with the last three people here 100%. Polyethylene is pollutant. It doesn't dissolve. It isn't biodegradable. 100% with them. It's affecting our environment. It's infecting our water. It's infecting everything. It's infecting the ocean. There are 270,000 tons of plastic floating around in the ocean today. And if something isn't done about it, within probably, according to what I have read, by 2050, that the ocean will be completely covered and exceed the mass of all the fish that we have in the ocean. That's pretty unbelievable statement, but it's true according to what I've read. And another thing too, I don't think that we need to wait on this thing. This needs to be completely eliminated from our system. When I was a child, we used to have paper drives. We used to sell our bottles. I used to pick up my Coca-Cola bottles and get money for them and all that kind of stuff. We didn't have any plastic of any kind at that time. Then all of a sudden, the innovation of plastic, it's fantastic. Yes, it's fantastic. It's fantastic providing you use it for what it's supposed to be used for. A lot of people don't realize that when they're taking this crap that we have in the stores that are being passed around, and this stuff that they're putting their vegetables in is polluting our environment. And I tell you what, if you don't do something about this immediately, down the road, your children and your grandchildren and stuff like that, they may not be around because it's polluting our environment, the water, our air, everything. And I just say that if you're not aware of this by now and it needs to be done, and I just vote 100% for the people who are talking about everything that I wanted to talk about, but I just want to emphasize the fact that this is a fact and it needs to be done now, not tomorrow, but now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Judith Bernstein. I've been active on this issue for some months and testifying at just about each of the city councils where it was passed, as well as at the city councils up north where it didn't pass. Supervisor Gibson spoke about the need for consistency, and I think that is the theme. If I buy something at In-N-Out Burger up in Atascadero and take it to the beach in Morro Bay, it's going to end up in Morro Bay. If I buy something and go over to Cambria that I bought in Paso, it's going to end up in the streams or the beach there. So whatever I buy in Paso doesn't stay in Paso. Same with the Atascadero. I also was a writer for many years for Edible San Luis Obispo and have the pleasure of interviewing three restaurants about their transition and how much it cost them from styrofoam to alternative products. They all said, yes, it cost more. They also said the costs are coming rapidly down as more and more cities buy into this and pass it. Obviously, San Luis Paper can offer it cheaper and cheaper. And they also said, looking at all their overall operating costs, from labor to the product to rent, you add in the cost, then it comes down to a very small amount of additional cost, and it's certainly worth spending that. The other thing I'll just add is about enforcement. There are people out there, like myself and a few others, who spy things occasionally on shelves, even in Target or in my local Panda, and we will very politely tell them that you have an ordinance and that they can get it from the local office and that we hope they will comply. So you also have citizens' eyes and ears out there, just to remind people in the most polite way possible that it's a new law and we hope they comply. And I'll continue to have my eyes out, but I do hope that you go ahead so we have one consistent ordinance for the other parts of the county. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Pamela Hooker, and I live in Napomo. And I do not have specific facts or figures to give you. What I have is a visual concept of all of the things that I've been seeing and concerned for our future environment. Unfortunately, the majority of humans take responsibility only when they are forced to or when they see terrible effects of our actions personally. So many are obvious to oblivious to what is happening. Since the graduate came out with a saying, the future is in plastics, yes, we have thought it was going to be good and help us to have more sanitary conditions and to have more convenience and to become more civilized. But we are here destroying our civilization because of it. That is why we must make ordinances and laws to correct an otherwise inevitable polluted and poisoned earth. The banning of polystyrenes from human production and usage is a first and necessary step. But making laws for the disposal of plastics in an easy and clear means of doing so for households and personal use is even more required. But not less is the importance and necessity to educate our communities and children of the realities and destruction to our environment by human usage of plastics. We need to, as a human race, create the technology and infrastructure to safely, without causing the ejection of more carbon pollutants in the air, to recycle and reuse the plastics we already have more than enough of. We absolutely should not just be dumping and covering up the waste of plastics. Whether you believe God is testing us on our pathway to heaven or that aliens have placed us here on this richly endowed planet to see how we can deal with our species survival or just care about the future of life here on Earth, we have created for ourselves a crisis dilemma that requires us to take responsibility for our actions and to restore the Earth as it was given to us and meant to be and needs to be for human and other life continuance. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So just a reminder, we are in the 1 minute section. Some people have gone a little bit beyond.
I accept your challenge.
I don't want to cut people off, but just a reminder, if you want to do 1 minute, this is your time. If you want to do more, feel happy to go after this, and we'll go to the 2 minutes and then the 3 minutes.
I feel like I'll accept the challenge. The ink's still drying. I've got a case of the vapors. My name is Luke Dunn. I'm an educator. I'm an educator who specializes in environmental sustainability and innovation. But I'm here today to implore you to yada, 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 X out all this. But styrofoam is an antiquated product that is not only harmful to our natural environment, but our human health. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services determined that styrene is a, quote, reasonably anticipated to be a human carcinogen, end quote. Our country, our county adopting the ban on styrofoam is a preliminary action needed for San Luis Obispo to continue its advancement of accountable city policy. Let's see what else. Everyone's doing so good and covering all this other stuff. San Luis Obispo has the most ambitious goal to be a carbon neutral city by 2035. I've emailed you this lovely scientific research paper making the correlation between plastics and climate change. So we'll hopefully get to that. But let's let some other people get up here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'll try to get it all in a minute. My name is Marty Brown. I live in Atascadero. I write this letter, and I wrote it to you, to petition you to agree to writing a countywide ordinance banning the sales and use of expanded polystyrene and single-use plastics. The public is becoming aware of the worldwide pollution and human health threat, as well as contamination of ocean life and wildlife on land. This has to stop. We can stop it here in our county. Five of our cities, with the exception of Paso Robles and Atascadero, have stepped up to the plate and endorsed a comprehensive ordinance to ban the sale and use of EPS. Single-use plastics, such as bottles and straws, are banned in San Luis Obispo. It is not enough. It is like sweeping the ocean back with a broom. The problem has grown exponentially, and I'll skip that. These plastic and EPS waste products will be with us forever. They are not biodegradable. They will continue to pollute our oceans and coral reefs, starting with the streams and rivers that provide drinking water, wildlife and fish habitat, and recreational areas. Add to that the huge carbon footprint that plastics leave on our environment. It is our moral obligation to future generations, as well as those of us alive today, to stop the plastic madness by using a tough approach to stop single-use disposable plastics. Anything used in our marinas and lakes, such as buoys, flotation devices, netting, etc. Packaging is another area that EPS should be banned. Some of our food is packaged in styrofoam containers. There are biodegradable alternatives that are very much appreciated by the discerning customer. There are good and clear ordinances written in cities in California that we can use as a guide. We can do this. We must do this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Rick Matthews from Atascadero. And first of all, I want to just endorse passing this small step in the right direction of banning polystyrene. But further, I mean, as a former speaker mentioned, this is just it's a tiny step in such a gigantic problem, and I'm just not sure where any of you are in terms of addressing it in its more global aspects. So, a couple of questions here is what are the plans to construct comprehensive sorting and recycling facilities for the Central Coast? There's other communities, other regions that are doing a much more thorough job. Are there any that we can model, programs here? Because there's a long way to go, and I think people would be willing to do it. They don't want to see more straws being pulled out of turtles' noses. So
another thing, and this is in a regulatory sense, I mean, can you task vendors to greatly improve the effectiveness of their services in trash collection? Can you make it part of the contracts that they are, you know, they want to make their money off of shipping our recyclables to China? You know, let's see, you know, are they willing to improve their recyclable, you know, their recycling programs? And can you advocate to other levels of government to create legislative imperatives to reduce and prevent wasteful packaging? Because, I mean, recycling is one thing, but that's on the end use, and we have the least power in the situation of all. I mean, when I see a light bulb that's in a ridiculous container, it's just kind of like it's irritating because now I can't even recycle it. But yeah, I mean, what good are these things? They can do better than this. Let's get some innovation involved, and I think that you can all advocate for that as the leaders of our community in this specific thing. So I guess that's really what I wanted to do is just to show some leadership in this, please, and take us in the right direction. So if we can make some steps, I'd sure like to see it. Thank you.
Thank you. So now that we're...
I just wanted to say one thing. I don't know whether...
We can't speak from the... You've already had your public comments, so we have to wait for other public comments to come through.
I don't know if anybody mentioned this, but you know,
unfortunately, it's just how it works.
Yeah, sir.
We need to...
I just wanted to say... The solution to this problem is if we convert to biomass, which you can use for almost anything, for plastic, anything, it's biodegradable, it doesn't harm the atmosphere whatsoever. But if you look it up and study it, biomass is a solution.
Thank you for your comments. We're now moving on to the two-minute comments, if anybody would like to step forward and do the 2 minutes. So there are people that do still have speaker slips that are willing to speak. Mr. Jouet?
I wasn't sure if I was a 1 minute or two.
And you can do it. We still have 3 minute options, too. I'm not trying to pigeonhole anybody. I'm just.
Tim Jouet, resident of San Luis Obispo County. Yeah. First, I wanted to specifically thank the IWMA for their letters in support of AB 619 and SB 424. I didn't realize there was going to be such an enlightening conversation about it and how it relates to this issue, as it was mentioned that big money, such as tobacco, nobody said oil, and a lack of regulation at the federal level. Deregulation is causing this influx of these vaping products that we don't know what to do with now, and now we are responsible for regulating it. So let's not throw our hands up in the air there. So moving on to item 20 of today's agenda, I was going to focus on the issue of ocean pollution regarding expanded polystyrene and single-use disposables. I'll assume everyone here is familiar with the term Great Pacific Garbage Patch, although there are garbage patches in the other oceans as well, and that there is a consensus that this is real and a problem. I didn't find a whole lot of garbage patch denial when I spent some time researching the subject, unlike for some other serious issues of our time. I did find an article, or a paragraph in an article from 2017 posted by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. I won't read the whole article because people have covered those other things. Basically, it explains why it's so hard to get this out of our oceans. This was in a box I opened this morning that got shipped to our studio. It's part of the styrofoam packaging, but this is the piece that fell off. So I can't recycle it. I can't throw it away. That's going in the ocean. But I wanted to read the last few sentences because they're very interesting. However, preventing marine debris is the key to solving the problem. If you think about an overflowing sink, it's obvious that the first step before cleaning up the water on the floor is to turn the faucet off. That's prevention. Then this next sentence is great. By working to prevent marine debris through education and outreach and each doing our part to reduce our contribution, we can stop this problem from growing. Now, what's wrong with that last sentence? It sounds like our federal government's telling us education and outreach and hope for the best. That's not good enough. Is that how our county addresses the issue of cannabis cultivation and sales? Is that how our county addresses road safety? Is that how our county addresses the issue of groundwater use? I don't think that's how we're doing it here. So I'm asking the county to proactively help turn the faucet off when it comes to the amount of plastic trash we are dumping into the marine environment. Thanks.
Thank you.
Jane Swanson. I live in unincorporated county area. I have a couple of comments that I hope will be taken as constructive. I don't mean to be just criticizing. But the website for the Waste Management Authority, to me, is not user-friendly, and I use websites a lot. One example, I just now, using my smartphone, in the search box, I put a simple question, where can I recycle my bottles and cans? That's the kind of thing it invites a question with a question mark. So that's the kind of thing a normal person would put in there, and nothing comes up. I found it by messing around under retail take-back program, which is proper language for a regulator, but it's not what a normal citizen would search for. So, and there are other things too. I've been looking at the website for weeks because I wanted to know what was in this draft ordinance, and I couldn't find anything ever on the website. So maybe I'm inadequate, but I think that the website could be more user-friendly. And actually, if somebody wants to use me, I'll sit down with you. I'll come in with a list of things that I would like to be easier to get at and sit with the webmaster. I don't know. Anyway, so that I think would help, because a big part of the waste management agency's task is to educate, and you have great materials on the website. I found great ones. The PowerPoint at the beginning of this meeting was super good. Loved it. And I learned a lot that I didn't know about different kinds of plastics and which could be recycled. And because I'm rural, I'm not in any city, there is no pickup for recyclables or green waste. And my spouse and I, we collect it all and drive down to the landfill place and put the recycles in the recyclers. We do it. But I'm pretty darn sure my neighbors don't all do that. So I'm sure there's a problem with expenses, but if at some point that could be upgraded, pickups at homes for rural people, that might be very helpful. I was shocked. If I understood Supervisor Gibson correctly at the beginning of this meeting, I think, Mr. Gibson, did you say that 18 months ago you asked for this topic to be agendized? Well, you don't have to answer that during public comment, but I thought that's what I heard, and I was shocked out of my brain. I mean, I would think that request would be implemented as in a more timely way, because it's not like it wasn't important until last month. This has been ongoing for decades. So I'm glad that this body has gotten to it now, and of course I do endorse the proposed ordinance and agree with just about everything every speaker has said. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you, board members. My name is Sharon Sutliff. I've been a resident of the county for 44 years, and I just want to quickly give a historical perspective. In 1967, when that aforementioned graduate came out, I was a young mother with two children, and I spoke to a group of preschool parents advocating not using styrofoam. I was aware of it back then, and I've been in that mode my entire adult life and trying to avoid all plastics now. It's got to happen. We have to pass this. We have to continue this trend, because there will be a tipping point when the manufacturers will realize that this is a losing proposition, and that the entrepreneurs, which are already coming up, if you go and look for anything on the web, toothpaste that's not in a plastic tube, you can find other products, but I ought to be able to get it at the local grocery store, and that will happen. But we have to be at the forefront. We have to start making this visible. It's already no styrofoam in Maine. Whole countries in Europe have already banned it. So I know you'll do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Dan Canella. I've been a resident of San Luis Obispo for 5 years, and hopefully many more in the future. I won't repeat any of the things that people have already brought up. It's good for the environment, yada, yada. You know that. As the previous speaker mentioned, the state of Maine has banned expanded polystyrene already, so there's precedent for this. Costa Rica, the entire country has as well in the past month, banned the use of polystyrene, single-use disposable polystyrene, and as well as Los Angeles and San Francisco counties. So there is a significant amount of precedent for this, but I encourage you to support this ordinance that would ban expanded polystyrene and join those counties and countries and cities being on the forefront of this movement. Another point that I would like to tell you about is I would encourage you to, I don't know if this would be an ordinance or just encouragement or whatever, but encourage businesses to give financial incentives for people to bring reusable containers. This is already happening in the case of many coffee shops in particular, where if you bring your own cup, you can get 10 cents off your cup of coffee or however much. But I think that this would be a way that instead of replacing styrofoam and EPS with other disposables and single uses or single use materials, we can encourage people to reuse their own items and have a financial incentive to do so. I think that would be a smart way to go about this rather than just replacing styrofoam with paper or whatever else, which, while good, is not enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Lucille Bosco. I'm a climate reality leader. And every day I ask myself this question, is the decision I'm making, whatever action I'm doing, is this adding to the carbon print or not adding? And that goes along with the Board of Supervisors and every decision that you make. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you don't mind filling out a slip, I don't think that we either didn't get it or did you fill out a slip just so we can put your name on the record?
Oh, no, I didn't.
If you don't mind just filling it out and handing it in, that way we can put it on the record. Thank you. All right, it looks like we are now moving on to the 3 minute. So, and now I can go to names after the speaker, so I have all the slips for these ones.
Hi, I'm Vita Miller, and I live in Los Osos. And I just wanted to throw out a couple facts first. About 5 trillion plastic particles are present in our oceans, from the macro to the micro size. Like any other aquatic particulate, plastics and microplastics can create their own micro environment, which they already have in the garbage patch. The other fact is that most of the Earth's oxygen comes from tiny ocean plants known as phytoplankton. They live near the water's surface and they drift with the currents. What is a garbage patch doing to phytoplankton? I'm obviously here today to support the position of a strong ordinance. I'd like to see you include not just these take-home containers, but the styrofoam trays that our meats and chickens are placed on, the egg cartons. They can certainly be replaced with biodegradable cartons. I'm really in particularly interested in the buoys, and I had no idea that the buoys are made of styrofoam, and I have a friend who kayaks in the Back Bay all the time in Baywood and says that he's constantly picking up remnants of buoys, and at one time he collected all of them and delivered them to the oyster farm where a lot of these are apparently being used, and asked them to do something with it. I think you need to consider the fact I'm also a nurse, a health, obviously, advocate, and you have to consider the fact the food chain, somebody else brought that up. What's happening with the food chain? The microplastics are moving up the food chain already. I'm not sure if they've been found in our vessels yet, our blood vessels, but I presume that's going to happen eventually. And think about it. If you think about your circulatory system, the kidneys are not going to be able to filter out microplastics. And where are they going to accumulate? Of course, they're going to accumulate in our tissue. They're going to accumulate in our brain. They're going to accumulate in our heart. So please, think about the future of mankind. That's what we're really talking about here. We're talking about the future, not just of the planet. The planet, I'm hopeful, will sustain itself and will come back. But we're certainly talking about the future of mankind. Please pass the strongest ordinance that you can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, board members. Hello, board members. My name is Savannah Cooper, and I was born and raised right here on the beautiful Central Coast. I often do community creek and beach cleanups, and I always take a bag with me when I go and pick up trash when I'm walking. We are a beach town county, and I am deeply concerned about our waterways, the life of our oceans, and the health of our citizens. Reported in our local Tribune in 2018, Science of Total Environmental Research Review, scientists have documented impacts on sea life from neurotoxicity in fish to reduced survival and infertility of marine zooplankton. Zooplankton are the smallest animals in the ocean, and some turn into bigger animals like crabs, octopi, and jellyfish. They form the base for the marine food web, for sardines, for salmon, for sea lions, and orcas. All of the animals owe their lives to zooplankton, and single-use plastics have a major impact on this. Single-use plastic packaging is associated with danger toxins found in our blood, feces, and tissues. Just one of the dangers of this is the endocrine-disrupting chemicals that are found in these plastics. Inside our bodies is a network of glands and organs that is called the endocrine system that produces, stores, and secretes hormones. Normally, these hormones go right into specific receptors like a locking key. But when EDCs get into the body, they mimic the shape of our hormones and they go into the receptors instead. Fooling the cells in this way can trigger abnormal processes in the body. This can wreak havoc on the endocrine system. EDCs have been linked to nervous system function disorders, immune functions disorders, many cancers like prostate cancer and breast abnormalities, breathing problems, obesity, heart health, growth problems, neurological and learning disabilities. Hormones regulate every process in our bodies. I keep a little basket of hot and cold reusable cups, straws, and to-go containers in my car, but there is only so much that I can do as a citizen. This is where your leadership comes in. Your jobs are very important. They are like soldiers on the front line protecting us. There is enough research and evidence that shows how single-use plastics has a major impact on our bodies and the ocean life, all for something that is used only once and then thrown away. The time is now to ban single-use plastics. I encourage you to support this ordinance. I thank you for your time and your service in this community. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper.
Hello, my fellow citizens. My name is Catherine Ellen. I'm a systems designer, and I represent Biocompatibility for Life. I want to remind everyone that waste is a human creation. It does not exist in nature. In natural systems, the output of one element is the input of another. Waste, therefore, is a sign of our system's dysfunctionality. I'd also like to remind you, as others have, that we solved our needs just fine before the invention of plastic, and we can do it again. We fell under the spell of its promise of cheap, easy convenience, and there was nothing planned for its end-of-life cycle other than to throw it away. We know that there is no way. And we know that landfills, while a temporary solution, is not something we want to continue to make and fill. Landfills, too, must disappear. We need to transform, as others have mentioned, we need to transform our system so that we filter for biocompatibility. That means that all our products fall under the umbrella of supporting life. We, you, at our request, have the power to what we're calling a ban, but it's really a filter. You have the power to ban not only the polystyrene, not only the rigid plastic, but let's get real. We eventually want to ban all plastics in general that are based on petroleum and that cannot reasonably be recycled. Our recycling markets are failing. Our recycling abilities hardly exist in this country, and it's a shame. It's a real shame. So, as others have pointed out, let's focus on the plastic that's already been created and hopefully manufacture that into something more. And let's not wait. Let's transform. A ban is not a limitation on our freedoms. It's an expansion of our freedoms because it is directing us to have the freedom of clean water and clean air and clean soil. If anybody uses the excuse that this will be bad for business to ban plastic, we're going to call you out, because business, the false profit of dollars over life of humans and the environment, is indeed a false profit. And that excuse is old, an old paradigm, and I don't want to hear it, and no one else here wants to hear it. We want us to rise to our higher selves, find the creative power and the joy in moving forward to something that's quite exciting. It doesn't have to be this bad, oh, government's coming down on us. No, government is supporting our higher capabilities to be creative and to solve our needs with biocompatible products. All right? No. Let's do it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Rands?
Good afternoon. Barry Rands again, 10-year resident of San Luis Obispo and active in the Slow Climate Coalition. I mentioned earlier that I was involved in Live Oak, and I forgot to mention that I was in and out of those garbage bins and dumpsters, and we found virtually no styrofoam at Live Oak, and I would like to see next year at the Mid-State Fair the same result. But today I would like to address three specific issues for the study session: acceptable alternatives, reusable foodware, and thirdly, the expansion as to who this ordinance or to whom this ordinance applies. First of all, the acceptable alternatives. Ms. Taves had an excellent point in there that compostable products are actually encouraged as an alternative. We've got to not include those in this new ordinance. At Live Oak, for example, the beer vendor was serving beer in plant-based cups marked with number 7 recycle sign. Many of these ended up in the food waste barrels or in the recycle bins, but sadly, they have to go to trash. Because they're difficult to sort in the recycle stream and cannot be composted in our green waste digester, compostable foodware has got to be out of the picture. Second point is reusable foodware. I was very pleased to see IWMA support for AB 619. For many of you that aren't aware what this is all about, that allows consumers to bring to and be served on their own eating utensils at fast food restaurants and events where food is served. It also allows food vendors at public events to use their own washable, reusable foodware. And I just saw that the bill passed the state Senate by unanimous vote and is now on the governor's desk. This is a great step forward for our state. But I'd like to see Slo County do even better. The city of Berkeley passed an ordinance going into effect on July 1st next year that will require food vendors offering on-site dining to only use reusable, that's durable and washable foodware to serve customers eating on the premises. Food vendors can either provide the cleaning facilities or contract with a service for off-site cleaning. I'd like to see the county consider adopting this. It will not only result in significant reduction in the waste stream coming out of the restaurants, but will also create new jobs as a cottage industry develops to provide the off-site cleaning services that will be needed. And if the board considers this too extreme, let's at least require restaurants that are serving food on recyclables to offer recycling containers and a food waste bin and one for the trash for their customers. Panera is about the only restaurant that I've seen that has all three of these. Let's make this the norm rather than the exception. And one final quick point. The current city ordinances only apply to retail outlets and food vendors. I'd like to see an expansion of the ordinance so that it applies to all businesses and organizations who offer food or beverages to not only the public, but also those that serve their members and their employees. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm June Cochran, and I live in Shell Beach. I agree with all the health concerns and everything that's been said today, and I haven't heard one person speaking against this ordinance, so I think you know that we are all supporting it, and probably someone would be here if there was somebody in your big audience that really felt strongly about this. So I think that tells all, too. Let's also talk about the costs. It's been estimated that the total economic damage to the world's marine ecosystem caused by plastic is at least $13 billion a year. And that article that just came out in the newspaper about Monterey and down to San Luis Obispo and our marine life, that's us. It's not just some ocean someplace else. It's us, too. And that's a huge cost, $13 billion. In California, taxpayers pay over $420 million yearly to clean up largely plastic debris everywhere. Who knows what the cost is locally? Somebody should probably try to figure that one out. I'm always blown away when I go to the gyms here, to basketball games, to baseball games, to restaurants, to markets, and see the mountains of single plastic water bottles, plastic cups, lids, straws, cutlery, the foam egg cartons and trays that hold meat, the horrible substances found in such items as food wrappers and microwave popcorn bags, and packaging that is used and then tossed. Plastic playground equipment is being put up here, and buoys and other large items that can be made with natural materials instead. Okay, so we now have the knowledge and the resources to move beyond plastic in our everyday lives, let's face it. And you have been proactive before with your ordinances that are now in place. So please take the next steps necessary to move forward to improve our quality of life by way of a very strong ordinance that includes more than what you have right now in your ordinance and enforced compliance. Do you have the will and the courage? I certainly hope so. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Rands?
Greetings, IWMA Board. And I'm Janine Rands, lived here in San Luis 10 years. And I got involved in this 6 years ago. And so it had to be carried on, as exhausting as it is. I poured my life into this. And I'm thrilled to see you guys up here taking a part, taking an action, taking an interest in helping to clean up our country and our community, our county. I have a friend, an expert on polystyrene in Southern California, in Manhattan Beach, actually. And I took liberty to and invited him to help us out. He's helped out over a dozen cities in California, both Southern California, but particularly in Southern California, and also Northern California, to craft their ordinances. He wrote the one for that was just passed unanimously last night in Hermosa Beach. He's taken the ordinances from six cities surrounding Manhattan Beach, and they're all going to adopt the one ordinance, and he's written it. I've made copies for you. It's called Environmental Regulations, not just polystyrene. I've made you a copy of environmental regulations that are add-ons, and I want to refer to that. And then you got a copy of a worksheet. I also made a correction, or Craig, my expert, he made corrections to that worksheet. This plastic, this month rather, is an international or global plastic-free July that was announced on the internet, and I joined, a lot of us have joined, and it's a global call to get people to be aware of the problem and how we can have solutions. It's exciting to read every day posts that people have come up with. So I'm happy to be part of this problem and come up and help you guys have solutions. So I'm glad that you put this on the agenda and we've studied it. I'm glad that we became aware and we've got this wonderful show of people that are out here supporting it. And I'm going to say that we will be challenged. I'm glad. I don't see Dart Company here today, the Restaurant Association, and the plastic bag company that's going to fight us. We don't want to be taken to the Supreme Court. We need to be in charge of our environment and be stronger than these corporate entities that want to just soak their pockets for their personal. Thank you, Patty, for a wonderful presentation. Thank you, China, for taking a strong position against accepting the world's trash and Americans' trash. You created Operation Fence in 2016, and you made it known January 1, 2017, no more containers, shipping containers. We used to send, I think the figure was something like 400,000 shipping containers a year to China. Where did it land? It landed on their front yards. We should all be willing to take our 4.5 pounds of waste. That's what the EPA has per person per day, and put it on our front yard. Why should we think we get to use plastic and use disposables, put it in a container, and we'll never see it again? Somebody is going to see it, and it's right now in our backyard. And I'm glad China has taken a role. It's hard for us because now we, at each municipal, has to deal with this trash. On to an ordinance. So definitions must be clear.
We've gone beyond the 3 minutes at this
point. Oh, I have?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm...
Can you quickly sum up the rest of your
definitions must be clear for my mother to understand. Our cold canyon and everybody in it has to be on the same page. Conversations with our cold canyon leader says he takes 1 through 7. He recycles number 6, and he wants number 6. Anything with made with styrene. I was on the phone with him just right before I came. We need to figure that out. We need to have good brochures. This brochure is excellent, but it says right on there, bottles and containers labeled 1 through 7 are acceptable in the blue bin. That's completely confusing. Our counterpart in Paso Robles, he says, let's stop this plastic use. We don't have a market. The market has gone south. Thank you for endorsing SB 619. We need a county ban so that everybody's on the same page. 5 cities doesn't kick it. Shout out to the cities who are already enforcing California.
Okay. Can we just, I mean, that's another minute that we've gone on.
Okay, if we don't do strong measures today, we are complicit to the land, the bird death, and the ocean pollution.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank
Rands.
You.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Sarah Flickinger. I'm a resident here in the city of San Luis Obispo for the past 20 years, and I did grow up in the unincorporated area of Los Osos. I echo all of the things that have been said by the staff here in their presentation as well as the public. We need to do something now. It should be the broadest ban possible so that we can stop the stream of plastics and specifically polystyrene. But we really need to be looking at the broader picture of all single-use plastics. I was washing a dish the other day at my sink looking out the window, and I watched two Mylar foil balloons float up past my house. And I live on the south end of the city, and I watched those balloons go right past the high power lines that come out of the switchyard on Orchid Road. And my heart stopped a little because these single-use plastics, not only do they threaten our oceans and our ecosystems, they also threaten our own safety. Because if those balloons had gotten up, gotten tangled in those wires, we're looking at a climate reality that includes change that heightens our fire risk. This plays into all of that. These single-use plastics, not only getting them out of our ocean, but getting them out of our air, out of our open spaces, and the wildlife that they impact when they move beyond our homes is exceptionally important. So I do encourage the broadest ban possible, both for polystyrenes as well as single-use plastics as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for the very passionate conversation that this will ensue. Now that we're closing public comment, I want to see, we're at the 2-hour mark, I want to see what the board wants to do. This might be a robust conversation. I know that I'm hitting the edge of my bladder capacity, so do we want to take a quick recess, take care of that, and then come back to this conversation, or do we want to push through? Okay. We're going to take a quick 5-10 minute recess, and we, what are we at? 3:24, do you want to do 10 minutes? 3:30. All right, 3:30. We'll be back at 3:30. We are now back to the discussion at hand, and that is to look at the depth of what we want. So, Patty, do you want to kind of lead this conversation as far as how you want to, or actually maybe we should address some questions.
Yeah, bring it back for board deliberation, if we might, Mr. Okay. Chair.
And I do, since we're on this topic, I wanted, some people had some questions. I wanted to at least make some comments about some of the topics that were brought up. As far as the website, we are going through a website update currently. We have that funded in the new budget, so we certainly know that that is an issue that we are going to resolve, so bear with us as we move through that, and please feel free to offer IWMA staff any concerns as that gets updated that makes it more user-friendly. Also, the 18-month period of why it took so long to get agendized, those who have been following the IWMA, we went through an extremely drastic shift when this was first brought to us to be agendized. We literally lost our director the next meeting, so we couldn't exactly move forward with such a topic without a director and moving through the interim director, and now we have a steady new director, so that's why it took so long for us to get back to this point. If anybody else has anything else, we'll bring it back to board deliberation. So who wants to kick off?
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Yes.
I appreciate public comment today. I think people brought forward a number of very important ideas and
realities that we're facing. And it's been, this agency's had a very proud history of being out on the forefront of recycling and doing things like prohibiting the use of single-use plastic bags. And I think that working on issues of polystyrene is an important next step for us. And I think we're seeing widely, not only in California, but through the country and the world, a realization that, you know, this has got to be addressed. You know, our study session, our agendized item was specifically on polystyrene, and it would be my suggestion to the board that we focus that, and that what we do is direct our staff to go prepare us an ordinance for our consideration that would ban polystyrene products. And the nature of that direction would include coordinating with the five cities that have such bans now so that we can come up with something that is as close to uniform as is possible. Now, of course, this agency passes an ordinance. The other jurisdictions are welcome to use that ordinance. But I think that since we have such a good start with the five cities that have already banned polystyrene in particular, we should focus our efforts there. There's a lot of commentary as well on the question of single-use products, straws and stirrers and reusable utensils and things. And those are all very, very good points. I think it would be easiest for an agency this size to take that in a second phase, that those have more far-reaching effects. We have a proven response. We have a lot of evidence in the response to the banning of polystyrene that it has not created significant problems in any of the jurisdictions that have passed it so far. So I think if we concentrate in a phase one on an IWMA ordinance on that fact that would apply countywide, and then in a phase two we start a further consideration of what we do with single-use plastics, that would be appropriate and efficient use of our staff's time. We do have a timetable laid out in our staff report. I saw that we could have an ordinance through a couple of readings. I think it was by September. So that would be my recommendation. I hope colleagues might agree that would be a useful way forward.
Thank you. We have any other comments to my right?
Well, I like that approach. And so it kind of, and if we did that approach, it would moot some of my specific questions and some of the other things. And in having the staff then review the five ordinances, try to meld something out of that, they would also address the other issues as far as approved replacements, exemptions, time frame.
Yeah, I mean, all of those things are part of those ordinances, and to the extent that there are incompatibilities, staff can bring us back options or their recommendation to, again, seeking, I think consistency, that was what we found with the plastic bag ban, was that consistency countywide was important to the businesses that are going to be affected by this. So it's for that reason that I make that direction.
Thank you. I support the idea as you articulated it. Thank you.
Mr. Hammond.
Here today too, it it certainly shows in most of the county. Although what I have seen in my time as an elected official, you can't regulate stupid. People are just going to be doing what they're going to do, and it's the people who don't really respect our environment. People don't do the right thing, don't put it in a proper container. That really is the main issue. But you know, I think again. We need to do something somehow, some way, and I fall back to the point where science and technology got us to where we are now, and I think that's really going to have to be the way to get out eventually. I certainly would support, at this point, bring back language that my city and our constituents up there would like to look at and review. Again, it's something that I think is important to do, but again, no matter what we do, it's still going to be prevalent. And I look to my industry, too, in the door industry, that there's so many packaging, polystyrene packaging products that are prevalent throughout the building industry that's just almost impossible to try and remove. But, again, it's a good start. I mean, San Luis County is leading edge, I believe, in things like this. But on the other hand, I would like to see the language before we, so I can bring it back to Pastor Robles and let them talk about it. So hopefully we can get an ordinance drawn up and drafted that would be something they'll accept.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Blake?
Mr. Gibson, you're suggesting an ordinance that is specific to polystyrene, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. The only thing that concerns me are all the exemptions that everybody seems to get, and I hope we deal with that.
Well, those are fair. I mean, that's a fair topic of discussion. And for instance, there's been a lot of concern about the plastic trays that underlie meat and fish mm-hmm. in the grocery store. And I think that as I understand the arc of this discussion in other jurisdictions, and you look at that table, most jurisdictions grant an exemption for that. And I think that that it would be nice to immediately ban that, but I think that those exemptions, that particular exemption, is in there for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, I would submit that we can get an ordinance in place. We're not done at that point. And as things move forward, new technologies emerge. I like Mr. Hammond's thought. We're going to have to trust to some new technologies, some new human behaviors, but also some new technologies that can help mitigate this problem. We'll get after that.
Exactly.
You know, it's like single-use plastic bags are still prevalent in farmers markets. I'd like to see the day when that goes away as well. Mm-hmm. So we'll get there, but it's I'm an incrementalist in that regard on
sure.
a fast track.
I'm just anxious because
understood.
I know how we are really, we've got ourselves into this and we need to get out of it. And somebody
absolutely.
Will come up with something, I hope.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So there's a couple comments that I'm going to weigh in on right now before I move on to other comments because, for one, we're not leading. The county is not leading in plastic reduction. There's 27 countries that have better plastic policies than we do, and we're talking countries, entire countries. There's the other reality that this incremental idea, we have a 2011 plastic bag ban that is now antiquated. This idea that we can just incrementally do this, we're going to have to wait another 8 years if you want to take on this polystyrene reality. Like, I'm all for parsing these things out and really commenting on them, but we have to look at these exemptions, and just trying to do what has already been done isn't going to satisfy literally the public comment that we have heard before us tonight. I think we need to get into the details of what we want with this ban if we want to take single-use plastics and look at that from a different policy standpoint. It's easier to tackle. I'm all for that. But thinking that we want to match former policies that were put in place that have already become antiquated on a global scale and also think that we are on the forefront of this issue, it's not true. If you look at the data, and I read this stuff literally every single day, you know, we have airborne plastics, we have a new study that just came out that says humans have basically consume a credit card's worth of plastics every single week. That's the reality that we face. And this, we as board members elected to this, the number one issue that we have to deal with is health and safety of our constituents. This is a health and safety issue. And thinking that somebody else is going to come along and solve this problem isn't true. You have to mix in government controls with it because that's the only way that we're going to basically empower any of these companies to make the switch that they've already been doing on their own. And you look at the cost effectiveness of what this was 11 or 10 years ago versus now, it's far more cost effective to switch to these carbon neutral or more forward thinking items than we have. So I want to make sure that we have that conversation and not lie to ourselves that we're somehow on the forefront if we basically put a policy in place for the county that's already been put in place and that we know isn't substantial enough for the future realities that we're going to deal with on this subject. And I don't want us to kid ourselves when we have this conversation. We need to be real, and we need to actually look at our constituents and the health and safety and the future of what's going on here. So with that, we can go with further comments. Mr. Heller?
Yes, I understand the approach of Supervisor Gibson, and I support it in terms of getting something regarding polystyrene in place right away. turned on here. You just need to talk louder. I support Supervisor Gibson's intent to get something regarding polystyrene in place. When I look at the spreadsheet here, however, I see Hawaii, which has banned all styrofoam use as well as single-use plastics with no exemptions. West Hollywood, Sausalito, Mendocino County has banned all polystyrene plus single use with a hardship, 1 year hardship exemption only for all the other things. Ukiah, small city, bans all styrofoam and single use with no exemptions. I think if we're to lead, that's the approach we need to take, and we need to take it now. I don't see any reason to wait any longer. I think if we really want to be leaders, that's what our county demands, and that's what we should be doing. Thank you.
Mr. Storton?
Thank you. I appreciate the comments from my colleagues, but a couple of points I just want to bring up is my city has passed an ordinance in 2016, and I don't want to come back with just the same thing and be in a position to where we've really made no change whatsoever. And there needs to be a demand that I know in my community, there needs to be a change. And so looking at just coming back forward with the same language, I don't think is going to be acceptable from my vantage point. I think we do need to take that next step, identify even further single-use items, and as well as looking at the exemptions closely and make a determination as to those as well, because I think we just need to take that next step. Thank you.
Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I'm actually pleased to hear the enthusiasm of fellow board members, and I certainly will support going as far as we can. And the only word of caution I would say, but it wouldn't even be caution, would be to the public, not just the folks here, but the folks who might pay attention, is I know Mr. Gibson was on the board. I think maybe Mr. Hammond was on the board. I'm not sure. That was about it when we passed the plastic bag ban. When it first came before us, it was unanimously popular. And then the politics came out. So don't, you know, you need to also keep, I mean, not that we shouldn't use politics as the opportunity to overcome some of the opposition, but it went from being a unanimously on this board, everybody thought it was a great idea, and then suddenly there were the industry itself paid people in this county to make sure that certain people didn't vote, and by the time we passed it, three readings later, I think it was a one vote thing. It got challenged. It was a remarkable remarkable public process. So where you begin something, keep in mind, you know, there are people who lost their seat because of that vote. There are people who did the right thing who lost their seat because the interests that don't want us to keep this, and that needs to be understood. Well, all that is a challenge to you to make sure that there's more people who support these things. Meaning if you think that things can just be supported, and I say this because I understand the pressures that my city colleagues are under too, which is they have to report back to their cities, and that happened during the bag ban too, where people got replaced because they supported the ban and their council didn't. So you need to be aware that this is not a fight that happens easily just because the first discussion of it. Publicly, 15 people show up and are very enthusiastic and well-informed. That was very similar to what happened before. So I'm certainly enthused by it, and I'm glad. You know, I've had this discussion with Chair Gomez, and I think he's been a real leader in our, beyond just in his city role, in our community. So I want to provide him with the kind of support that that this issue deserves. So I'm just saying it as a reality check for everybody too, that this is not an easy road as much as it might seem in this first sort of thing that where we're at. We'll see.
So, Mr. Lee,
sure. I've struggled with how far do we go, how quick do we get there, and that's really the debate that I've been raging inside my head. Sometimes people will say that it's hollow in there, so the debate's not too difficult. But that's really been, I'm supportive of the comments that have been said and expressed here today, but it, really the reality for me is how far do we want to go with this particular ordinance and how quickly do we get there? And I think Supervisor Gibson's approach is a measured one. So with if we take the what I'll say is the most active ordinance, which is the current San Luis one, and perhaps use that as the starting point. So rather than trying to meld all five ordinances together, perhaps that's our starting point, and then provide direction to staff within 6 months or a year to come back with that second set of ordinances. And then depending upon where we get from there, I think the other component that we as an organization need to do is, and Mr. DeMilo is not in the audience anymore currently, but I think we need to expand our educational program. So outside the limits of the whatever ordinance we decide to move forward with today, I mean, I think that's where the educational component and the long-term benefits of an ordinance in place are going to get far outweighed by the education of our next generations, as well as those that are in awake in these days with that. So that's my struggle right now. Is I think I would start with the San Luis ordinance as the basis for this. Violations notwithstanding, I think that might be a different discussion. And then provide direction to staff 6 months after that to bring back phase two, so that there is that incremental but productive step.
I've got a thought going forward on that, if I might, Mr. Chair. First of all,
hold on, before you chime in, just because Debbie has to take off.
And I just wanted to say, I have a water meeting. This will be, without speeding, this is my last minute I can go. So I'll look forward to this, to continuing this discussion. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold. Mr. Gibson.
So, Mr. Chairman, first of all, I love this discussion, and I particularly enjoy being called out as an incrementalist, which is a term I applied to myself. And maybe it's a generational thing, but you know what? That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. I appreciate, Mr. Chairman, your passion for this. I'm trying to figure out the practicalities of this and how we go forward and how we direct our staff to provide us those pieces of information that will make for a useful conversation the next time we convene. Perhaps we take Mr. Lee's advice and start with the San Luis Ordinance as it is. Perhaps we could delegate to the Executive Committee to then provide a more aggressive ordinance. What would a more aggressive ordinance look like along the lines, sort of the old school and new school options of this, and we could have a conversation about the merits of going forward in a more aggressive manner than, for instance, the city of San Luis has gone, and that would form the basis of our next conversation.
I mean, the question to me, we have things in front of us that we can literally look at and say, do we want this in, do we not want this in? I think using this fallback of let's use San Luis Obispo, it's very difficult because, again, San Luis Obispo took on the polystyrene ban several years ago. And we have other layered plastic policies within our city. So we can't just say let's do what they did, because that's not one single policy. I think there's the bigger question of, we know what the basic policy is. Do we want to look at the exemptions of, you know, the egg cartons, the meat trays? Those are practical things that we can have a conversation on if we want that in the ban. We can also say, do we want to see this come back with a single use separate, so we can handle this in a more efficient fashion that people can wrap their heads around? So it's two policies that we're looking at. I think we should probably give staff direction whether or not we're going to do that.
Are those the specifics, the meat trays and the egg cartons?
For me, that's something that we have laid out that is outside, that it is not in most other polystyrene ordinances. You also have the non-encapsulated marine buoys.
We could straw vote those items right now as part of direction and come back to a conversation of that.
Aaron, I have a meeting, I think, with Debbie. I've got to have to roll, so I don't know how you want to move forward. You know, I'm certainly supportive of bringing back an ordinance at this point, though. But if we want to start kind of segregating things a little bit, as Bruce has said, so be it. But I'm going to have to take off at this point. So unless you want to call for a vote right away.
Well, we might
get direction.
Well, let me make a motion to give direction to staff.
Let's see what goes.
To prepare an ordinance banning polystyrene, including egg cartons and meat trays, and to bring that back at the earliest possible IWMA meeting, and that separately we direct them to start work on a single-use ordinance ban and bring that back once we've gotten further into the issues of polystyrene.
I'll second that.
So as a point of discussion to add to the topic of, and you have EPS and you have polystyrene. Polystyrene is all-encompassing, so yes. I want to make sure that everybody's understanding that.
Yes.
We're talking EPS and the solid form of polystyrene. The one issue that was not brought into that was the marine buoys, whether or not you want that to be.
Absolutely. As a coastal supervisor and seeing the detritus on the beach, I will note that the marine buoys are not used in the county of San Luis Obispo. But as I read the model ordinance here, it's simply a matter of not selling them within the county of San Luis Obispo. So on the whole, I think it's a good statement. Its practical effect remains to be seen at this point.
So let's do
marine. Okay. I would add marine buoys to that direction as well.
So perfect. To clarify, the motion is for an ordinance to ban polystyrene, including the EPS, marine buoys, egg cartons, and meat trays.
Yes.
At the earliest possible meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
As well as to bring back a future single-use policy.
Yes. Thank you.
Let's do a roll call for that.
Yes. Bruce Gibson?
Yes.
Jeff Hammond? Sorry, John Hammond.
Hi.
Sorry about that. Debbie Arnold? Sheila Blake?
I would just stipulate that when you say styrofoam, say all styrofoam.
It's covered.
Okay. Yes.
Charles Barbeau?
Yes.
Lynn Compton? Okay, Jeff Heller?
Yes.
Adam Hill?
Yes.
Jeff Lee?
Yes.
Keith Storton?
Yes.
Aaron Gomez?
Yes.
Okay. What else you got, Mr. Chairman?
Let me look at the agenda.
A full day's work.
I think now that we have that behind us, the only thing that we have left is to look at any member comments or future agenda items. We obviously have the single-use policy as a future agenda item. Does anything have any comments beyond that?
I was going to have a comment about that in general, and that is, you know, the comment was made that the plastic bag ban is 8 years old and hasn't been updated, and Supervisor Gibson made reference to the, you know, things we get at the farmer's market or other places. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of an incrementalist like him, but there's nothing to say you couldn't look at these categories almost every year, and once a year go, do we want to add X?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the reason, I haven't been on the board long enough to know why it's been 8 years without any amendment, okay. But being an incrementalist, I don't see anything wrong with, you know, once a year, once every 2 years, relooking something and saying, hey.
Incrementalist doesn't mean you're slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in government, it doesn't.
Right. And that's why I brought up that comment, was just the reality of this board's incremental policies hasn't actually been incremental. It's been, here's a policy, and then it goes away. And so you look at other jurisdictions, you look at Manhattan Beach, their policies, they did take an incremental approach, and they've slowly added on as people gain greater understanding of this issue. So with that as an understanding, I'm all for incrementalism as long as we actually revisit it.
That was my point. Is that you know, we say we'll do things or we'll relook things, and then a lot of our agencies, we never do.
Just my quick comment is to say welcome to Brooks, and as you can see from the discussion here, the strategic plan and the mission of the organization is going to lead us in good and positive directions.
All right. With that said, this meeting is adjourned. All right.
forward, Moses.